Welcome back to the Pestrogen Podcast, where your favorite pest pros, Jenny and Candace, keep things buzzing with real stories from the field and plenty of laughs along the way. In this episode, they're joined by Alex Shelby, the owner of BNS Pest Management, a one-man pest-fighting powerhouse from the Oregon coast. Alex shares how he went from law enforcement to pest enforcement, what it takes to build a solid local reputation, and a few wild stories only a bug tech could tell. So grab a cup of coffee, get comfortable, and join us for some friendly conversation, a few laughs, and a closer look at the people who keep our world pest-free, one crawl space at a time.
Hello, and welcome back, all my pretty pesties everywhere. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Pestrogen Podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Candace, from the Pacific Northwest. Kind of always been here. And alongside with me, as always, is the beautiful and illustrious Jenny, as we like to call her, our little Midwest hobbit, with Trio Pest Control, our ladybug. How you doing? How's your week been?
I do good. It's been good. Anybody in the Midwest today, I don't know about y'all, but the weather was insane today. It was pretty. There's like rainbows and wind and rain and then sunshine. And then, yeah, so today was epic, but the week's going pretty good so far. I got to pose as a dead bug for Jasmine Pest Pro.
I saw that.
Yeah, I just pulled over on the side of the road and just played dead in a field. So that was fun. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's been a short week already. Obviously, it's only Tuesday, but
right.
It's been a week already. Like, is it over? I don't know why. I don't know. Yeah. It's just been crazy, especially today. It was just a lot for no reason. And like, right. I thought I was going to have my route done early, but I didn't get home until late. And then had, you know, obligations to take the dogs to the park and run to the store. And oh, but yeah, never I got ends. Here with like 30 minutes to spare. So I had to like chug down coffee. And then, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's how it's been. But I was excited for today all day. Every time I had to write 1021, it reminded me that today was recording day with the awesome in black and white, Mr. Alex Shelby. With BNS Pest Management. There we go.
There you go.
I couldn't remember if it was Pest Control, Pest Solutions. There's like a bajillion.
Yeah, I was going for management. A little bit of like a noir vibe with this.
Yes.
Does wonders for it really accentuates my gray hair now, too.
It looks good. Instead of that. I don't know why dudes always try to hide their gray hair.
I don't know why either.
Hell, I don't even hide mine. Look at that.
That's why I wear a hat.
I do during work.
Yeah, I do.
And then usually I got the red band right here.
Yep, facts. How are you?
You know, kind of like what Candace said, I mean, it's been a weird, really weird week, given that it's only Tuesday, because it's like, I don't know about Candace, but we've had some weird weather. I'm also on the Oregon coast too. And we've had periods of just torrential downpour. And then today it was like almost 70 degrees. And so then all of a sudden, it's like every single fall pest is out in droves. I mean, I'm stomping rats running out of bait stations first thing this morning. And then I'm hosing homes down because of Asian lady beetles. So it's this weird period of the year where, like, right as bug season is ending and right as my rodent season is starting, but just getting inundated with these like last of the season phone calls. So we'll see how the rest of the month goes.
Yeah, I'm a little too far south. I didn't get all the torrential downpour.
Really?
Yeah, we didn't get any of it.
I was I don't know if you've seen like the Doppler radars and everything like that.
Yeah, because I know it was either like Sunday evening or Monday. It was supposed to, like, I think in the valley they were supposed to have like tornado or funnel clouds.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, I don't know if any actually ever touched down, though.
There was a funnel spotted in McMinnville or Wilsonville, something like that, I think. But I just had to check again. We're supposed to get torrential downpour for the next, like, 2 weeks. So I think that everything, as far as my bug season out here, is pretty much, after the rain comes in, it's pretty much done
for
the year. So.
Yeah, I think we're supposed to start getting rain. But yeah, I agree with, like, the 70 degrees today. My last job, I got back in my car and obviously, my car's sitting, it gets hotter, but it read 85. And I'm going, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Right?
I'm like, it is almost weird. The end of October. Why is my car reading 85?
But then the other morning, I get out to the truck. I was like, oh, man, I got to go grab my jacket. And I turned the truck on. It was 37 degrees out.
Yep.
So we've been having fires in the house for the last couple of days now.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
It's the stupidest weather here, Jenny. Like, the absolute stupidest weather. And people are always like, oh, it must be so great there. I bet it's just beautiful and sunny. No.
Yeah, for like 4 months out of the year, it's absolutely amazing to live out here. Especially like the month of October is probably the greatest month of the entire year because you still have warm days, cool nights. And if the rain stays away, or the rain will only come in for a day or two, and then it's back to, you know, all the leaves are changing and, you know, beautiful, beautiful warm days, crisp, cool evenings, and hunting season too.
Yes.
There you go. Yeah. Have you always lived out there?
Yep. Whole life.
Okay.
See, nice. I'm a transplant.
So, that's okay.
I've been here long enough that I won't consider myself a transplant, but
I mean, you know, a couple of stints just moving around the state here and there. Lived down in Salem for a little bit. Hated that. Moved back to the coast in 2016. Been here ever since.
Nice. So you are, so you're the owner or co-owner of BNS?
Owner. Yep. Owner. I'm the owner. I'm the owner. I'm the head technician, secretary, bookkeeper, you know, service manager. I am the
one man show.
The one man show. I'm thankful enough though to have incredibly supportive family that basically, especially this summer, I mean, I was running ragged. So I was able to ask them to step in, answer phone calls. That was actually the biggest one. I was like, hey, could you just answer phones for the day? It's like, call me if you need anything. You've heard me talk on the phone. You know what my services entail.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you got questions on pricing or anything like that, shoot me a message or just don't give a price.
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah. Thankfully, I'm very, very lucky to have the Brown family, which is the B, and then to help me out.
That's awesome.
So, that is.
But probably growing next year, might try it. Maybe we'll see what my bookkeeper says, whether or not I'm ready to hire and if the numbers support it. So probably looking around beginning of next year, I think, training late winter throughout the spring, ideally Summit that's already licensed. That's my shameless plug. If there's any listeners out there in the Pacific Northwest, well, looking to make the switch.
I know a lot of people recently are looking to go away from larger companies. I had a gentleman in PCHD message me asking if we do anonymous posts, and I had to tell him that we don't have it set that way. But, you know, because he told me his situation, I said, just send me or message it to me. I will post it out and then you can just follow it
and
do what you do.
Yes.
So, yeah. Hopefully he's finding what he needs.
Yeah, I hope so too. And I mean, Jenny's been there as well, you know, working for the big box companies, the Big O, and then making the switch to a good family company that actually cares about you as a person.
Exactly. Yeah. And actually, PCHD helped me go from the purple X. I don't know. I'm just changing the color for that. But to.
Oh yeah. I guess you would have to change the color for that.
To the Big O. PCHD helped me with that. Message somebody anonymously, they posted it for me, and unfortunately for a lot of folks is that the area you're living in, there are no like family owned or owner operator places that are hiring. So then like me, I had to travel 4 hours away to Trio. So but it's worth it. It's so worth it to not work for big bucks anymore.
Well, Alec got to meet two of the other small companies in my area, the two owners of it.
Yeah, yeah, I did. I did.
You did.
How'd that go?
It was good.
That's good.
I mean, you know, always happy to meet other titans of the industry, people that have been in the business for a really long time and, you know, just get to shake a couple of hands and just say hi and.
Yeah.
You know, see how their year's going, you know, what the, because these are cotton tops for the most part. So, you know, they've been in the industry since I was probably still in diapers, sometimes even longer.
Yeah.
I don't know if those two would account for that.
Well, I mean, one of them, right?
Yeah, one of them maybe. The other I don't think it's been that long.
I think one of them's been doing this since like the 80s.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. I've never, I'm sure Brandon would know. I don't pay attention to either of them.
But besides that, it's like then getting all the tea as it were, because it's like every, I mean, most pest control companies, I think, I mean, we all know everybody. We're all the same person to an extent.
Yeah.
Because you kind of have to be on a certain wavelength to do this kind of job.
Yeah.
Then, but when you really focus it down and then in your area, it's like, yeah, I know the owners of all of these other companies, even outside of, you know, 2 hours away from me in Portland. It's like, yeah, I know the owner of this company and this company and this company. Uh-huh. I'm like, these people are all great. But then you start to hear like the little nuggets of information. It's like, because when you work in a service area, I mean, me personally, I wave at everybody, but then it's like, did you hear about so-and-so? It's like, no.
Dude.
But do tell.
Right? We got the state chem here dropping juicy gossip at our classes and shit about the different companies.
Oh,
like,
Jesus.
They'll go on a story and we'll all be like, who did that? Who did it?
I mean, there was a couple of people. There was one speaker, not at this year's Hood River seminar, but I think it was like three or four. No, it wasn't even Hood River. It was a seminar that was in Portland, and they were showing photos of a technician treating a house in shorts, in flip flop, like Hey Dudes or Sperry's or something like that, backwards hat and short sleeve shirt in Oregon. And I'd be like just driving down the street, snapped a photo of it, put it in a slideshow. And we're all like, we know exactly what technician that is. We know exactly what company that is.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I know that neighborhood. I service three doors down from that house.
It is wild how you get a community reputation, but you also get like the industry reputation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you can go from being, you know, like I said, titan of the industry to being the next, you know, billionaire, right?
Yeah.
You know, just takes one bad Facebook post and then, hey, all of a sudden it's like you're a meme.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And PCHD loves to meme them.
Yeah.
And you do too. I have seen your.
He's like guilty.
Listen, there's one gentleman. I didn't ask if I could use his name on this podcast, but there's one gentleman that constantly posts on PCHD. I stop what I'm doing just to look at his memes.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
And the man is a artist.
Yes.
Is what he is.
Yes. So,
but yeah, you're absolutely right.
If you think,
right.
Jenny, you should know who he's talking
know
about.
I know who
as well.
It okay. is. We love him.
Yeah. But you know, to your point, I mean, yeah, you go from being, you know, somebody that does good work or is just trying to, you know, get their company off the ground and wants to post something that they're excited about. And maybe you got some bad information at one time or another, or had a bad manager, God forbid, because those don't exist, right?
No.
You know, you had a bad trainer or something like that. And, or you worked for, you know, a Donnie Marie or, you know, or you worked for a family owned company even where, like I said, maybe you weren't shown the right way to do something, but that's how you've been doing it for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, whatever it may be. And you post something that you're excited about, all of a sudden it's like you're done for. But you're absolutely right. You have a reputation in the industry, and then, you know, but even more importantly, you have your reputation in the community. And we've all experienced that where one company, it's like somebody will call you. It's like, oh, well, you know, we were using this company, but we refuse to use them anymore.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I've gotten a few that way. I get calls numerous times. Yeah. That's pretty much mine too. Is
yeah.
Like, we were using so-and-so and they're not doing their job. Can you come do it? Sure, fine.
Or it's like, you know, you were, it's like, hey, you know, you serviced our houses, or, you know, you were our pest control contractor for years and years. We just found out that you started your own company and we'd like to keep using you.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely. More than happy to.
Yeah. That's how our bigger ones came, because of Brandon's previous employer having big contracts, and then he ran his no compete out. And then we opened our business, and then he went to him and said, hey, and they're like, oh my God, where have you been? You have a new company? I want to sign up with them. And he's like, yeah, it's my company. And they were so excited. So our like top three big ones are all his old contacts that they were so goddamn excited. And then now they love me too. So, hey.
Yay. Yep.
So, you know, if you do good work, and I mean, the slogan, and this is to my wife's credit, it's like, you know, it's, my company is B&S Pest Management, but I don't BS my clients. And I also have the other one is We have a no BS approach to pest control. So you do good work. You don't BS your clients. You can't.
Yeah.
You can't lose.
Yeah. Right.
You know, that. So I think that, you know, having a local reputation is way more important than, you know, what the people out in the valley or, you know, 3 hours away from you think of you.
Exactly. It's like our colors are black and white. And Brandon says it's because we are literally black and white. We can do it or we can't do it. There is no in between. There's no gray area. It's just, it's black and white.
It's black
and
white.
Yeah, it's, you know, our stuff is, you know, like Ronald said last week, it's, you know, local. Stay local. I don't care about landing Walmart or Walgreens. I don't want that shit. I want to help my local businesses and the residents here as much as I can. I don't, I do, you know, local businesses. I do local houses. You know, up and down the coast. That's actually how me and Alec actually started talking. Is he had a client up there with him, but he has a vacation home in, was it Lincoln City?
It's Lincoln City.
Yeah. But we're both about 2.5 hours away from it. Him from the north, me from the south. So he called to see if I was closer.
Yeah. I think I'm like three. I think I'm like three and some change. And I'm like, listen, I would love to help you. You don't want to pay me to drive and take a whole day, because if I'm driving 3 hours, 3.5 hours one way to go treat your house, you don't want to pay for that service. I'd rather send you to someone else. So that's actually, and then I knew that that the Nordquists were out on the coast too, but I just didn't know their service area. So
I would have loved to do it, just because, like, once, I mean, yes, technically Alec isn't local to me, but local enough, you know.
Yeah,
it's the Oregon coast. And, you know, just build that relationship. But we've built the relationship in other ways. I mean, hell, this man called me the other day to just blow off steam on a story that happened to him just because he needed to. And he's like, well, if you got to go, just hang up. It's fine. I'm like, dude, I'm already home. Right. We're good.
And I was like, yeah, must be nice.
That's great.
Yeah, hey, I don't even remember what it was, but
I don't either. It was one of your crazy stories, because I think I used it in one of ours that day.
I'd have
or the
to
next
look back
day.
Over them.
I don't remember.
I don't remember. Obviously, it wasn't that important to me because I let it slide off my back.
Yeah.
So
that's a important thing when it comes to pest control friendships too, is you get it. So when I talk to you about something that happened in my day, it's extra special because
You're not trying to explain something that happened to you, but having to explain extra because the person you're telling is going, what?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
We've all been there. We've all had the bad days, the good days, the bad client, the awful crawl space, whatever it may be. It's a shop talk. And that's one of my favorite things about what I do, is meeting other people and talking to other people in the industry. I'm lucky that my best friend used to be the area tech for the Big O. And so he would call me just on a whim. It's like,
listen, man, I got to tell you about some shit that just happened today.
And just go off on me. But
it's helpful.
It's helpful.
Brandon used to do it to me prior to me doing this. So I'm going, okay, sure. That sounds so bad. But now that I do it, I'm like, dude, oh my God. Because now I get it now, you know? It's like, he's like, now you see all this shit that I've been bitching about for the last, well, just shy of 10 years now?
Yep.
And I'm like, shut up. I get it.
Oh, you went to, you had to go to so-and-so's house? Yeah, remember that one time that,
Oh, yeah. Or like seeing the, as we call them, the worst of humanity. Mm-hmm. When I have this issue and, well, if you just cleaned, it would help me and the issue. And then, you know, oh, my kids don't have this and that because of this. And it's like, no, this is on you.
Yep. And, you know, it's that same guy calling me up. It's like, hey, man, I'm going to send you someone. I go out of their house. I take a look at it. And I'm like, just biting my tongue the entire time. As soon as I pull out of their driveway, I'm calling him. I'm like, listen, man, if you ever send me one of those people again, I will kill you.
I will throw you in their crawl space. Okay.
I will. Yeah. I will lock you in a crawl space.
Yeah. Nope.
I'll set your house on fire.
So, how long have you been doing pest control?
I was thinking about that, because I think that you asked me that was going to be one of my questions. I can't remember if it was 2019 or 2018. And I was going to message the president of the company that I worked for years ago. and just to say, hey, when did I start? So it's either 2018, 2019, right around there. So relatively, okay. Even when I'm talking to other people, I still say that it's like, hey, I'm still new to this industry. Yeah. Because even when you've got 10 years of experience under your belt, you're still, you know, there's this, it's this uh-huh. bell curve where, you know, you take your licensing test, you're fresh out of training, or you finally set the textbook down and you're like, listen, I know everything about this. I know what I'm doing. And then you get a couple of years in and you're like, oh, I actually have no clue what I'm doing. And then you start to climb that bell curve again. And it's like, okay, I'm building my confidence. I know what I'm talking about. I know how to solve this issue. And then from there, it's just like,
yeah,
you know, and then you plateau and then you get your ace and, you know. But so I think 2018, I think, is when I started, like the beginning of 2018, so 7 okay. years.
Do I know you were talking about your wife. So how long have you guys been together, married?
Together, we have been together since 2017. Oh, so then I started with that other company in 2019, beginning of 2019.
Okay.
So we started like dating in 2017. Got married and she stuck with me through changing jobs and yeah. a pretty big move. It was 2016. I think it might have been end 2016. But yeah, it was 2016. So pretty aggressive move. The place that I worked at closed its doors and I had to move halfway across the state for a new job and stuck with me the entire time. We got married in 23. That's embarrassing. I mean, you know, shouldn't be saying that. It's
let
like,
me know when you're free.
You don't know when we got married. I know the our anniversary, but I can't remember when we got, what year we got married. I want to say we got married in 23.
That's okay. Brandon still has a problem with that. I just tell him that just add a year to our oldest age. And there you go. You got it.
Oh, there you go. Like, okay. Yeah, perfect. Yeah, perfect. I bet you I could like look back through, you know, Instagram photos and Facebook photos. But I think so we got married in 23 and then our daughter was born on Halloween of last year. So
nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep. Little Halloween baby.
Yeah. Me and adorable. Brad Harvey are the day before Halloween.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. It was, she came about 6 weeks early. So for all the other pesties out there who have spent time in the NICU, you know, that is, you want to talk about an exclusive club of like parenthood specifically.
Yeah.
It is the NICU parents. That is awful. That is absolutely awful. And we spent about, we were up there a month in the NICU. My wife was there every single day. I mean, they give you the option. It's like, well, no, you can go home or, you know, what have you. Certain hospitals here in Oregon actually have like housing for parents. Mm-hmm. So it's just a little, like a short walk away from the hospital.
Oh, nice.
And the parents can stay there basically at no charge. And you can come and, you know, spend time with your kid. My wife was there every single day and sleeping in the uncomfortable recliner or, you know, the couch that, you know, we're both 6 foot. Actually, my wife's 6'2", and the couch is like 5 feet long.
Oh, geez.
So she was there every single day. Yep. It was awful. But meanwhile, I'm answering calls and, you know, it's like I try to cram. Thankfully, it's the slow season. I'm still getting my business off the ground. So I was able to like condense everything to maybe 2-3 days a week. But I was leaving Hillsborough like the night before, getting home at 10:30 at night, waking up at 4:35 to go to work and then busting my ass back down to the NICU because I wanted to be with my girls. So. Yeah. It's, I don't wish that on anybody, but the people that have been through that, no, I mean, we're a different breed, you know,
yeah, definitely
your baby under billy lights and everything hooked up to them. Something that I'll never forget.
Yeah. My oldest nephew was a NICU baby, so I didn't have to go through it, but seeing my brother and my sister-in-law do that, because he was a miracle baby to begin with. And then being, he wasn't born early, but she went in for a, just a normal test, but he wasn't responding how they wanted him to. So they put her into an emergency C-section. And when they got him out, he wasn't breathing at all. So like, I think my brother said it took like 3 or 4 minutes of CPR to get him to breathe. Mm-hmm. So then off to the NICU he went. So they were really worried about like, you know, brain development and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That kid is smart as a goddamn whip.
Yeah.
It's insane. Mm-hmm. But yeah, yep. And then they had twins afterwards and they were just fine.
It's, yeah. And I tell you what, those preemie babies, I mean, I just have the one for now, but it's, they're a totally different breed of baby. Everybody talks about up until they're one, it's the best time because they're so sweet and they're so cuddly. Nah, dude, that kid is feral. I mean, it's, you know, she was crawling, I think at like, I've actually, you know, everything's a blur these days, but it's like she went from like rolling over to crawling to walking in like no time flat. And now I set her down on the ground. I go get a cup of coffee, 15 seconds. I come back into the room. She has climbed up the chair or up the couch, across the recliner, standing on top of like the end table, looking out the window. And I'm like, how did you get up there? And she's like, Louise, they are a different breed and they're fast. She'll be one on Halloween.
Oh yeah. One on Halloween.
Yep. Wow. Okay. I was thinking she was going to be two for some reason. Mm-mm. Wow. That's crazy.
But I mean, yeah, growing like a weed, and she just cut her first tooth. You can see just the top of it poking out through her gums, you know. So
that's so cute.
Oh my gosh, she eats this all the time. So, you know, hopefully we'll have another D1 athlete in the house because Lord knows we can't afford college.
Right.
Not on our salaries. You know.
That's what I'm saying.
A couple of 6-footers for parents and you know, we're thinking, you know, maybe a track and field star, hopefully. So if you're watching this in the future, 20 years from now, dad wanted the best for you, even when you were a baby.
Even as a little squirt.
Even as a little bean sprout. Dad was putting all of his money on you putting yourself through college. Get those scholarships, you know.
She's going to turn out to be like 4 foot nothing. Like, what the fuck?
Don't you put that evil on me, Jenny. those genetics are there in the family. You know, this is an audio podcast. So, but I'm 6.5 feet tall. My wife is 6'2". My joke is, though, especially when I'm around more or other men, I'm like, yeah, I'm 6'1". And they're like, you can't be 6'1" because I'm 6 foot and you're 5 inches taller than me. That's bullshit. Like, I've been this height since high school. But no, my wife's dad, when he was my age, was 7'2", 7'1".
Jesus.
But her mom is 5'5". So wow. I'm like, we'll see what happens.
Skip.
Okay, see, I knew you were bullshitting me when you kept saying in our group chat that you were 5'9", because I'm like, bullshit. I was standing next to you and you were leaning on your truck and your ass was still hella taller than me. I'm 5'7". Ain't no fucking way. You were only 2 inches taller than me.
That's the joke. And I even got our good friend. I didn't ask if I could use his name on this, but he owns a company in the metro area. And he's about my height, too. And that's his bit now, too. It's I'm like, I'm 6'1". It's like, yeah, I'm 6'1". And his son, I think, is like almost 6 foot at like 12 or 13. And I'm like, yeah, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's what he's saying. Because when I said how tall my son was at 15, he was like, what? I'm like, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. 6 foot at 13.
I do have taller genetics in my family. Like my dad's like 6'3". My grandpa was 6'2", 6'3". But my mom's 5'5". My brother is 5'11". He was so pissed he never made it to 6 foot tall.
Darn.
And I told him if he just stood up taller, he'd be fine.
Yeah, there you go. That's the duality of man where it's like no man. I've never met a man that is 6 foot. Anybody exactly. that says they are 6 foot, any man that says that they're 6 foot is straight up lying. You're either over 6 foot mm-hmm. or you're like 5'11". So
5'11 and a half.
Yeah. So yeah, ladies, when you're meeting that Hinge date or that Tinder date, whatever it may be, break out that tape measure. I'm 6 foot. Bullshit.
Bullshit. I don't think I've met anybody exactly 6 foot tall.
That's what I'm saying. I've never met a man that is 6 foot on the dot. You are 5'11 or you are 6'1".
I don't even think I've met a like even a woman that was like 5 foot tall because Jenny's smaller than 5 foot. I don't even remember measuring my kids and having them hit exactly 5 foot because I remember measuring Jude at 4'11 and then like months later I measured him and I think he was like 5'2".
Yep. There you go.
I'm 4'9".
Skip that exact even number. Yeah, Jenny's 4'9". She's my pocket.
I have not been 4'9" since.
God damn it.
That is wild. Yeah, I got a daughter that's almost half your height.
I was about to say my 10-year-old is pretty much eye to eye right now. So
yeah, that's.
But I was going to ask you if your girls have.
Youngest looks like she's going to be my height, which is such sweet revenge because she calls me shorty. And so I just keep telling her.
Just you wait.
Yeah, you're going to be short like me, you little shit. But my 10-year-old looks like she's going to be like her dad. My husband's 5'11". So
that's it. See?
Yep, he's not 6 foot. He's either 5.
Go measure him.
It's a funny experience for me, you know, and that's kind of actually been, you know, my persona, my whole professional career is that I usually have a, you know, you see some 6.5 foot tall, you know, shaved headed dude come barreling out of a car, barreling out of a truck. It's like, it usually de-escalates people pretty darn fast. But now in this industry, it's like, are you sure you're going to be able to fit in that crawl space? And I'm like, watch me.
Exactly.
Like that scene in that movie about the teenage wizard in the UK.
Oh.
With the bus, and then it goes,
yeah,
squeezes in between the two double decker buses. And I'm like, yeah, no, watch me. I'll fit in there. No problem.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So prior to pest control, what other kind of jobs, careers did you have?
Prior to pest control, I was in law enforcement, which is really weird for this industry because the number of military, specifically military police, ex-law enforcement, corrections, there's a ton of us out there where, and it's like, you wouldn't even think about it. It's like, oh yeah, I worked for the sheriff's office for 12 years or, you know, I worked at the state penitentiary for, you know, 15 years and now I do pest control. It's like, why? Yeah. And now I'm in that same boat. I'm like, well, yeah, I get it. So I worked for the Oregon Youth Authority, which is the like youth correctional department in the state. And then that facility in Warrenton closed and started working for the Oregon Department of Corrections, worked at the Oregon State Penitentiary, worked for a couple of sheriff's offices briefly. And then it's a very, very funny story, you know, just parked on the side of the road, having a cigarette with a couple of buddies of mine. And all in uniform, and it's a public rest stop. And this big red van pulls up, and this guy gets out, and it's like, you know, waves, and it's like we just wave at him, and you know, he pulls out a pack of cigarettes, and it's like, you guys mind if I hang out with you for a little bit? No, sure, please, by all means. And it's like, you know, have a cigarette, tells a couple of jokes, and he says, well, I got to be off. See ya. And I was like, I was like the nicest dude on the planet, and you know, we, you know, the three of us kind of knew that something was going to go down and that, you know, most of us were probably losing our jobs. And so we were all kind of looking, it's like figuring out what we're going to do, which department we're going to go work for. And it's like, well, I don't really want to go work for the city and I don't want to uproot, you know, for them is like, we don't want to uproot our family. Our kids are in school and everything like that. And but I was like, I'm pretty much a free man. I can go anywhere in the state and still do this. But as he was pulling out, saw now hiring. Magna on the back of the truck. And I was like, I did this. I was looking at it. I went, yeah, I could do that. Picked up the phone, called, talked to the president of the company and interviewed. I think that was on like a Tuesday, interviewed on a Friday. And I started not the next Monday, but the following Monday. Dang. And that was it for me. And, nice. You know, I didn't ask him if I could tell this story, but, you know, him and his wife and her parents really, really helped me out in a ton of ways. I mean, really helped me come to terms with a lot of issues that I had been dealing with emotionally and spiritually. And the biggest one is changing my attitude. Oh, man, they called me out left and right for having just a shit attitude and basically helping me kind of come from this position of it's like, you know, basically like a jackbooted thug to just being a decent person. And I mean, I attribute a lot of who I am and how I run my business to those people. And I was the last person that her dad trained before he passed away. And I mean, he got into the truck with me for one day and rode around and I'm like shaking. This is the man that started the company back in the 80s. And, you know, I'm like checking bait stations. I'm like, oh, Am I doing this right? Am I treating this house right? Am I following the label? And he's like, hit around those windows up there. The nicest guy on the planet. And, you know, his daughter really, really did well by him. She, when that company sold, she was kind of one of my first calls when I was thinking about starting my company. And she's like, here's what you need to do. Here's how you do it. This is the licensing that you need. And these are the people you're going to want to call. You're going to want to have a good bookkeeper, a good CPA, a good attorney. Then otherwise, you're good. So that is based. That's everything to me. I mean, besides law enforcement and corrections, worked in lumber yards, hardware stores, but that's not fun and exciting.
Yeah, I was going for the law enforcement story because I think that's cool. Like, I didn't realize how many really like cool. ex-law enforcement were in this.
It really
thousands. There's yeah. thousands. I mean, yeah. even the company that I worked for, you had former military police, three, and it was a very small company. There's two of us on the coast and technically three technicians. I mean, the owner's husband or the president's husband. So I think either three or four technicians in the metro area. Everybody except for one technician was either a veteran or prior law enforcement. I think one of the guys was military police and then he went to county corrections. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, there's thousands of us. And it's funny how we all kind of got the same start. It's like, yeah, I can do that.
Sure, why not?
Yeah. And it's especially when I started meeting, seeing people that I worked for or worked with. And it's like, I didn't know, you know, now you're doing pest control. That's cool. I'm like, listen, dude, nobody has shot at me, stabbed me, kicked me, spit on me. Nobody's threatened at the time. She was just my girlfriend. It's like, nobody's threatened my girlfriend. It was the greatest job on the planet. So,
yeah.
But like I said, they really kind of helped me come to terms with just being a nice guy and kind of washing that mindset out of my head, because that's what I had done. I'm still young. So for the majority of my adult life, I was in law enforcement or of some form of or another. And so just getting out of that mentality now into doing this, it has done wonders for my mental health.
Yeah, I was going to ask if like there was like a huge, like not difference, obviously, but like way you had to like think about going into somebody's house, going from law enforcement. Normally when you're going into somebody's house, it's with a goddamn purpose, as opposed to like, you know, not, hey, can I please come in?
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny that you say with a purpose. That is, I mean, that is a line. That is a line out of it. That is textbook. Walk with a purpose, move with a purpose, act with a purpose. I still do that. Fortunately, maybe to this day. When I'm knocking on someone's door, actually, that was something that they had to train out of me. It's like, hey, dude, listen, have to knock
don't
like you're
knock.
The cops. You know, it's like just a nice little, polite little knock. That was day one.
Yeah.
To change that. But no, still to this day, it's like you move through a house systematically. You start in one corner, you finish in the opposite corner, you search from the floor to the ceiling. And especially this was, oh man, when I did my first bed bug job, man, I mean, yeah, you start at the door open. I'm looking around the door frame, moving around. I'm flipping mattresses over. I'm yanking sheets off and flipping box springs over. I was like, the guy who's training me was like, you've done this once or twice. And I'm like, ah, oh, man, this is nothing. This is nothing. This is what I'm built for. I've been doing this for years.
You shake down a cell.
I can shake down a cell in 30 seconds. This is nothing. It's like, it's like, well, we saw one roach and I was like, I'll find him in 30 seconds. Just start the timer. But but walking into people's homes, I mean, you know, not a whole lot really has changed, you know, especially now that it's been so many years since I haven't done it. It's like once in a while, things kind of pop up and, you know, flare their heads or something like that. I hate walking into homes that just reek of cigarettes and marijuana. And actually a couple of property managers, they're like, hey, do you know what drugs smell like? And I'm like, is it my facial hair? Like, what gives you the impression that I know what drugs smell like? And they're like, well, no, you were a cop. It's like, I'm like, everybody knows what marijuana smells like. And they're like, no, yeah. Other drugs. And I'm like, you mean like drugs? And they're like,
drugs.
Yeah, can you go do an inspection at this property and tell me what you think? And I'm like, I gotcha. I've gotcha. And it's like, walk down the hallway, stop, look at a unit. I'm like sniffing around the door. And I'm like, yeah, that's meth. They're smoking meth in there. And they're like, okay, that's kind of what we figured. But yeah, there's a lot of those HUD buildings and stuff like that. The HUD is like the Oregon Section 8, I think, is kind of like a comparison.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate going to those places. Hate them because they just make my skin crawl. They smell every single one of them. You walk through the hallway or you walk into like the main entranceway is where you got the double locking doors and the manager's office is on the right hand side. You've got an elevator that goes up. The minute that you walk into that building, that is what intake smells like at a county jail. I mean, you've got like the sterilizing chemicals, just but what is seeped into the walls is the nicotine, the tobacco, the alcohol. It's like everything is just steeped into the walls. And then you get into the hallways and it's like, oh, man, I got to get out of here. This is awful.
Yeah. The body odor ones. Are
the body odor.
God.
Thank you for reminding me. The body odor. I mean, it just oozes. It's out of the carpeting, out of the paint. It's like there's no amount of kills that just gets rid of that smell. That is what county jail smells like. I mean, you know, and there's probably a couple of people that's like, yeah, I mean, he's right. He's right. But yeah, for those of you who have not had the horrific experience of spending a night at the old county hotel. Yeah. Imagine like your worst Section 8 apartment. That's what it smells like. That's what it is.
I have not had the pleasure yet, but
yeah, I don't plan on having the pleasure. Canteen's on
Wednesday. You know,
canteen's usually on Wednesday. And I was like, hey, you know, just put my last check on my books. Or it's like, you know, get a call. It's like, hey, you know, we got to, you know, it's like, this is going to be a gnarly one for you. And I'm like, hey, listen, if anything happens, just put my last check on my books.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
Canteen's on Wednesday. So I got 2 days.
I literally have a text from him that says that.
Yep.
That's great. Oh, my gosh.
But besides that, I mean, you know, being out in Astoria is a really weird, really weird place. And I've had the privilege of being into some of these places that like nobody else gets to go into, as I'm sure you guys have had those stories too, or those really, really cool jobs that it's a totally different aspect of going from law enforcement and just seeing like the worst of the worst and the best of the best too. I don't want to say that it's like, it's all bad because a lot of it is good. But then you get into this other side of like the underbelly of the areas that you live in and, you know, the restaurants that you eat at. And it's like, yeah, I don't eat there.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I didn't eat there as a deputy because I arrested the line cook for possession, and I don't eat there because the waitress has a warrant or had a warrant and she spat in my food one time. But now I'm like, yeah, I don't eat there. Not because of that, because they got roaches and I don't service it. So I'm
yeah,
like,
right.
Yeah, we're not eating there.
Nope. I don't do the work. Nope.
I don't do the work. Nope. I'm not eating there. Exactly.
Yeah, I've walked into a restaurant here that had like the double doors and you go through the first set of doors and down both sides was rub marks. And I was like, nope.
Out.
I was like, because how? It wasn't even like an old place where maybe it could be like shoe rubs. No, that was literally sebum just down both sides. And not like faint. It was brown. I was like, oh, we're good. We're good.
Nope. Speaking of, with Pest World going on right now, make sure to pay attention to all your Facebook friends who are there and all of their hotel fiasco posts. I'm seeing it like... beds flipped.
Did you see that comment that I made on one of those posts? I can't remember the guy's name. I've seen him post a couple of times in some of his comments, but I'm like, I had this thought where we've all gone to those seminars because they always host them at the hotels with the big conference rooms.
Yeah.
But I'm like, can you imagine being the manager of a hotel? It is full. Or like these convention centers and stuff like that. But Candace and I were just recently in Newport for a seminar, and you guys stayed in...
We stayed in Lincoln City.
Thank you. You guys stayed in Lincoln City. We stayed in Newport. But most of those guys are staying at the hotel. Can you imagine having 100 or at Pest World, I don't know, 1,000 people at that seminar, and one of those guys finds bed bugs? I mean, my gosh. The nightmare that would cause.
Right. Yeah. I went to the Women in Pest Control conference 2 years ago in Austin, Texas, and the conference was held in the hotel we were staying at, so none of us reported anything, but I had that same thought too, like,
yeah,
this bitch about to get burnt down.
Right. But we've done that at a few of the conferences, because like we don't ever stay at the hotel where the conference is, because like I want to be as far away from
there's a weird
possible.
Stigma. Fair. I think about that.
But we'll stay relatively close. But you'll see like a whole bunch of pest control vehicles pull up in the parking lot. And you're going, all right, if something's here, somebody's going to find it somewhere.
Someone's going to find it. Yeah.
The worst we have found is ants. And they weren't even in the hotel. They were outside. But it was like, it was the Bend one, I think a couple of years ago. We're all standing outside smoking. And Brandon's like, there's ants. Look, man, that's, goddamn, that's a trail of ants. And I'm going, who the hell services this place?
Yep. Yeah, you start looking for bait stations and stuff like that. That's always the fun one is like, hey, nudging people at your table. It's like, hey, how many bait stations did you find? I found 13. I'm at 16, man.
Like, I never thought I would ever notice bait stations until now.
Oh, the greatest is when you pop open a bait station that it's like, you know, who services it. And you just, you know, this is a you know, maybe this is an old timer's trick, but that the guy that started the company I used to work for, he would always, didn't matter where we were at, he found a bait station, he would pop it up, put in it, put his business card in there. And I find myself once in a while doing the same thing where I'm pretty sure I know who is servicing, not the company, but the technician that services that station. Yeah. I know that he's going to text me if he sees it. So I'm just like,
you asshole.
Like, tag, you're it. You know?
That's great. I love it.
So you pop open these bait stations at a conference. There's like 40 business cards inside of that. They're all like, asshole, or, you know,
yeah.
Shit placement.
Yeah. I love collecting other industry people's business cards. I went to a termite class a couple weeks ago, and I was at a gas station like 2 days ago, and this guy just comes up to my window, and I recognize his face, but I can't. It's one of those, like, were you a customer? I don't know, but he's wearing, like,
did I arrest you?
Exactly. But I rolled out my window and he hands me a business card, and it was like, God, I love his business name, Critter Getter.
Nice.
Critter Getter. Yeah.
That's a good one.
Super nice guy. As soon as I saw the business card, I'm like, oh, don't you hate that when somebody's like, yes. Hey, and you're like,
oh, I get, you know, when you get phone calls and it's like, oh, hey, Alec, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, yeah, good to hear from you. Good. Okay. Yeah, we'll get it taken care of. You hang up. I'm like, man, I have
who
no clue who that was.
That? Yeah,
like, who are you?
Who is that? Or somebody sees me at a grocery store. That's the thing about, I don't know about where you're at, Jenny, but I know that Candace can vouch for me on this. Our county, our entire county is a tenth of the population of, like, Portland, yeah. You know, the whole area, 10th of the population of the city.
So it's just small population.
Small. You can't go buy a pack of smokes without running into three people that, you know, you serviced their house, you took care of their mom's house, or you dated them in high school, or they dated your brother, whatever it may be.
Oh, yeah.
And that happens all the time in the grocery store. It's like, oh, good to see you. Good to see you. I service a funeral home in Astoria, and I was inside checking snap traps. I was waiting for the manager at the time just to check in with her. And then walks this guy, and I can't even remember what his name is now, but I'm like, hey, how's it going? Oh, no. Because I took care of his mom's house, and I knew that his mom had gotten up there in age. And but I just went, hey, oh, no. And he went, yep. So that happens all the time in a small town. But that's going back to what you said earlier. If you don't have a good reputation in a small town, you know, it's that kind of that country song, try that in a small town.
Yeah.
You know, try running a business in a small town. I mean, you could run a stop sign and or something like that in your work truck, and it'll be on Facebook before you even get to your next stop. You'll be getting phone calls. It's like, hey, you on Facebook? It's like, no, I'm driving. What are you talking about? Get on the community page, and it's like, yep, there it is. Or when somebody starts talking bad about you, the other side of this is that somebody starts trying to start something in your really, really, really small town. Klatskanai, I mean, has like a population of like 600 people or something, 700 people, maybe, I think. And, you know, somebody tries to start something on the community page, and then somebody just chimes up. It's like, wait, are you talking about Alec? You know, the local guy that owns a business here in town. Well, if that's the guy who owns the local exterminating company, then yes, I am. 50 comments later, it's like, oh shit, I'm sitting on the toilet, and I'm like,
yep.
Oh man, wow, okay, this guy started some shit. You know?
Yep.
So
oh yeah.
Yeah.
So you
back
have a good
to the
reputation.
Population thing, I had to look it up. Coos County, which is the county I live in, has 62,000 in round numbers.
Coos
for
County.
The whole county.
The whole county.
The whole county.
The population of Portland is like 600,000.
622,000.
Bingo. So you are talking about 1% of, so the entire county is 1% of that whole city. You know, wow. Candace and I are kind of lucky. I think I made the joke to you one time where it's like all the coast, everything is like, it's a 15-minute county.
Yes.
My city is 15 minutes from the next city, which is 15 minutes. It's like, it's 15 minutes, 15 minutes, regardless of where you go. Everything's 15 minutes away. But you know, you drive for an hour in Vancouver, you are still in Vancouver.
So I have a question for both of you on that. I mean, I lived in a small town, but because of that, I had to travel an hour away to work in a big city because there just wasn't work there. But in a small city like that, do you still have like all the competitors? Like, do you have all the big name companies?
Yeah.
And okay,
yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Because like, I was hard pressed to see a bunch of pest control trucks in the small town we lived in, but like Indianapolis now, I see so many pest control trucks everywhere.
Yeah.
And like companies I never even heard of and stuff. I'm like, damn, who's that?
I mean, Candace, you know, could probably, you know, you'd probably have the same thing. We have the big box companies, you know, the Big O, the Big Green T, also owns the Big Green W.
Eastern.
That's the one. Eastern. Eastern, Economical Labrador Retriever.
Yep.
But on top of that, I mean, there are still, you know, family owned companies that haven't sold to to like an umbrella corporation. There are still those. In fact, one of the guys, I'm trying to become friends with him, but he's a titan of the industry. He's been in pest control for like 30 something years, had a route in the big city and sold that to a company that bought the company that I used to work for, but had a route on the coast. He's been working on the coast for like 17 years. Excuse me. He knows his stuff, knows everything there is to know about everything pest control. And so just try. And now he lives in Seaside, you know, an hour away from me. So there's him. There's another solo operator out of Astoria. But then there's, you know, the other companies that are based in Portland that have, you know, that either have an office on the coast or have a route out here. One of the guys that works on the coast from a company out of Longview, apparently him and my cousin are best friends. So it's like, you know, a lot of these companies, you know, I'm not their competition.
Yeah.
We have different ways of doing a service. We have different levels of customer service.
Mm-hmm.
We have different pricing. Sometimes we have the same pricing, but it's not my competition. Even in a small town, the work is there.
Yeah.
It is.
That's awesome. That's,
it most definitely is.
Yeah. But I think that more and more, and this will probably be the final thing I say about it, but I think that more and more, especially now, I think it started back basically in 2020, that more people that moved to these smaller communities, I mean, people like I don't know if there was a mass exodus in Indianapolis, Jenny, but out here, there was in 2020, there was a mass exodus from the Willamette Valley, Portland, Salem, Eugene. Everybody started flocking east and west.
Mm-hmm.
But people wanted that local service provider. They want the local plumber. They want the local HVAC guy. They want the local pest control guy. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, well, are you from Astoria? And it's like, well, you know, I service every single house on this street. And I'm pretty sure it's like, oh, well, it's like your last name is so-and-so. Well, any relation to this person? It's like, yeah, that's my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
So where it's like, yeah, their son is my best friend.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
No, that is really fun. Like, I have so many clients that actually moved up here from California after the Paradise fires. Super great people. But like, as like their friend group started to move up this way, they've like one by one come to me. They're like, oh yeah, so-and-so told me that you're really great and I'm having this issue. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll come check it out for you. So I have like a whole day dedicated to this group of people because they all live in a town like 30 minutes south of me. And I'm just like, yes, you're fine. I just picked up another one like a few days ago because she had just moved up here with her oldest daughter, bought her daughter a house and was like, yeah, it's having really bad spiders. I'm like, yeah, it's spider season on the coast.
Nah.
They got fat butts. Yeah. Yeah, they ain't going to hurt you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's, you help out one person. You don't bullshit them. You treat them. I mean, for me, every single customer, regardless of if it's a huge commercial customer that I think it, one of them, I mean, I think I've serviced like 70 of their properties or something like that. Every single customer is my first customer. That's my first impression with them. And, you know, they, it's like, oh yeah, my friend just moved up here from California, Washington, Montana. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh yeah, will you help them out? Absolutely.
Nice. Yes.
Yeah. It's great having them like that. I even have, I believe they were sister-in-laws. Like one of them married the other one's brother. Got both of them like right at the start of us opening. Still have them. One of them has passed away. Rest her soul. But I have her daughter. But they're just like the greatest people. The one that I still do have that's still alive. Kyra loves to go see her. She's like the grandma that's here since my mom is up in Washington. So she like goes with me to go do service to just tell her like what's going on in her life. Hey, I'm doing great in college, this, that, and the other. And she was an ex-school teacher, so that really, you know, excites her. Jude has one here in town that is like, you know, the stand-in grandmother, also an ex-teacher. I have a thing with teachers, I don't know. But she absolutely loves to see Jude. She loves to see Kyra now as well. Kyra asked her a whole bunch about like how she harness trained her cat, because Kyra's moving to Columbus here soon and That's wants to cute. Harness train the cat so we can take her.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she's like, how did you do it? What'd you use? This, that, and the other. And yeah, it was like a whole like 45 minute spiel between them two. Well, I'm just like, okay, I'll just go web the building, whatever.
Right, right. But I'll go service.
It's fun because like I see these people in stores and whatever, and they'll stop and say hi to me or, you know, oh, I meant to tell you that, you know, that little trail of ants, it came back, you know. Oh, yeah, sure. I'll come see you tomorrow, whatever. But it's really great because like a lot of these big box companies will say that they're local, but I'm sorry, like Eugene, Roseburg, it's not local.
Yeah.
They're close, sure, fine, but it's not local. If you call one of those places and say, hey, I'm having some ants, well, we'll get to you when our next tech is out there, which could be next month. I don't see the, you know, the big O and the big T here every day. I do see the Eastern guy because he literally lives right down my road. I could look out my window and see his truck. It's really funny. We had three on this, on like my little, like half of a block. It was mine and Brandon's, an Eastern guy. And then I don't even know what to call him. So I just won't even, but another one across the street. We're going, what the hell? Why did all they move here? It's really great that, you know, when you say that you're local and you can say, oh, yeah, I just live right up the road from so-and-so park. And they go, oh, yeah, I know where that is. See, I literally do live here. My children go to school here. I shop here. I, you know.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's the, you've got local techs. It doesn't make you a local company. You pick up, in fact, I was having this conversation just today. I service a plumbing company. They're based out of Idaho. And but they had an office in Gearhart, which is just, I mean, just outside of Seaside. And, you know, they're like, well, yeah, actually, we noticed that, you know, because things were kind of slowing down. They let their office staff go in Gearhart. So now everything got routed back to Idaho. They saw almost an overnight change in their call volume because people just weren't calling. It's like, I don't want to have to pick up a phone and call somebody in Idaho. I don't want to have to pick up a phone and call somebody in... How far away are you from Indianapolis, Jenny?
I'm in Indianapolis.
Sorry. Well, it's like, well, or in your, if you know, Trio, you know, if they pick up the phone and it's like, well, I got it. It's like, well, I'm talking to somebody in Indianapolis. It's like, well, that's not like, it's like, well, you don't know my service there. It's like, oh, well, exactly, yeah, I live up on so-and-so. It's like, you know, it's like, okay, well, I'll schedule you for, you know, 2 weeks out or whatever. But it's like, you know, somebody calls me up and I'm like, oh, yeah, I live off just off of Burnside. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm driving by in like 20 minutes. You want me to stop by? It's like, oh,
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you know where that's at? I had this conversation with Candace a couple of months ago where it's like, you know, this company that I used to work for, you know, I'm getting all these calls for an area called Jewel. And Jewel is out on it. I mean, it is in BFE. There is nothing. There's not a gas station in Jewel, no post offices, but they have a high school. And I'm getting all these calls in Jewel. And it's like, oh, well, I called so-and-so first, but they said they don't service Jewel. And I'm like, that's bullshit, because I can see the fence line of a house that I used to service, you know, a couple of years ago. And it's like, but it's like, come to find out, they didn't know where Jewel was. So it's like, well, it's like, you can't type in Jewel, you know, so you don't, somebody doesn't have a Jewel address. They have a Seaside address.
Yeah.
And so it's like, oh yeah, I live off of, you know, 202. And it's like, oh yeah, not our service area. And it's like, but it's like, because you don't know the area, because you're picking up the phone and calling somebody that's working from home in you know, northern Washington, Canada, Idaho, Utah. Whatever it may be, Utah. Yeah. That's the big one, Utah.
That is a big one.
So, yeah, it's having that local connection.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Too funny.
That's how it is here, is like we have sections of like Coos Bay. You have like Empire or Inglewood, but that's what we call them, but they don't have that address. It's Coos Bay. So if people are like, oh, yeah, I live over in Empire, and somebody random types in Empire, Oregon, they ain't going to find it because there isn't one. It's a district.
Yeah, I'm down but off of I'm down in the Alderbrook neighborhood. Okay, you off of Cedar or Ash? I'm off of Cedar.
Yeah, yeah, see, it's like, yeah, people tell me they live in the Edgewood area. I'm like, oh, cool. That's just right across the street from me. Like, literally, I cross the street and I'm in it.
That's why I'm glad I don't answer the phones for Trio, because I don't know Indianapolis, but they do. So that's fine.
Yep. They got it.
They tell me where to go and I'll go.
You're getting there, though. You've only been there a few months.
Yeah. That is a struggle going to a new... And I have serviced so many cities since being in pest control. Louisville, Kentucky, Cincinnati, Ohio, Toledo, Ohio, the complete opposite sides of Ohio, Fort Wayne, Indianapolis. So like, it's like I'm learning little bits of every major city in Midwestern United States. And I'm just going to keep traveling. No, I'm not. Just
keep circling. No.
Yeah, come out to the coast.
Right. All right. I'm taking Trio with me.
You might have to ask Bill.
Right.
You can service Lincoln City and Tillamook. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. We need somebody in the middle.
Actually, I think that that guy I was talking about earlier, I think that he's going to start servicing Tillamook. I hope so. I mean, I hope so. You know, he drives through it and he's only like an hour away. So
it's like,
dude, you should be servicing Tillamook because he services Rockaway as well.
Oh, okay.
And Rockaway is like 2 hours from me, 2.5 hours from me. And I'm like, dude, I don't want to work in Rockaway. I have one client in Rockaway I have one client, but four properties in Rockaway because it's a vacation rental company.
Yeah.
But I don't advertise that I work in Rockaway. If somebody calls and it's like, oh, yeah, I'm in Rockaway. I'm going to be in Rockaway in like 2.5 weeks if you want to wait there. But otherwise, you can call my buddy.
Yeah.
Right.
That's how we are with anything south of like Port Orford, because Port Orford's already like an hour south of us.
Yeah, that's
but
a jaunt.
I do have to go down to Gold Beach and Brookings both.
I forgot that you're that far south.
Oh, yeah. I'm damn near in California.
It's down there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're the southern. We're considered Southern Oregon coast.
Gotcha.
But I have to go down to both of those places for one stop each in each city. But I've, you know, obviously my car's driving through it, so I'll get people, oh, I'm in Brookings, can you come do this? I can't. I already am on a very tight schedule when I do that route. I can't add anything else to it. I'm sorry. Well, right. I see you here. Okay.
Did I tell you that somebody called me because they saw my truck parked in front of our rental house in Newport? They were like, oh, you're in Newport. It's like, well, yeah, it says choose local, choose quality on the side of your truck. It's like, oh, well, do you service Newport? Listen, it's like, I'm from Astoria. It's like, I'm just here on vacation. Sorry.
Yeah, we've gotten that from like Eugene. If we take one of our cars up there. They're like, oh my God, I saw your car and that's so cool. I want you to come do service.
Nope.
No.
You know, I'm more than happy to come and do your service. Here's your price. That's really expensive. I'm not in the area. Sorry.
That's a 2.5 hour drive one way.
That's right.
If the weather's good.
Pay for gas, pay for lodging, pay for food.
Yep.
Otherwise, call this guy.
Right. Yeah.
Call somebody else.
I have one last question from me for you. So what is your favorite part about pest control? What is your favorite thing?
That's tough because I feel like that there's so many different aspects of your job that, and the people that have been doing this long enough, it's like, yeah, I'm not really doing anything else. The people that wanted to be a teacher, they're teachers. People who want to be, it's your nursing too.
Mm-hmm.
People that became nurses, that's what they're doing. They're not going to pick up and it's like, oh, well, I'm going to go work in at a lumber mill. You know, that doesn't happen. I feel like that most people that do pest control, either their family owns a company, you know, Candace, your kids hopefully will take over family pest control. Hopefully my kids will take over my company. Or it's like you just kind of fell into it. So there's so many different aspects. But for me, it's that despite the fact that I hate hearing my work phone go off because I've got... you know, this was like day one decision, two phones, one for, even though it's my company, one for personal, one for business. And, you know, I have the ability to shut my phone off, spend time with my family, but most of the time I just forget to turn it off or turn it on vibrate or something. That phone rings 7 days a week. That phone has rang on Thanksgiving, Christmas Day. I mean, it's people wishing me, you know, Thanksgiving. As much as I hate that, I love it. I love it that people know that I'm somebody that they can count on. I know that when I show up to their door, most of the time, like 99% of the time, maybe, that people are happy to see me. And that, you know, people honk and wave at me. Or when I got my truck wrapped, people were texting me or sending me Facebook messages. Dude, good looking truck. That I'm the guy in the community that people, everybody knows somebody. It's like, oh yeah, I got a guy that does that. I'm that guy. And that's kind of one of the things that I love about my job. But more so than that, it's this, you know, now that I've been doing it long enough, I've been able to watch. I'm going to get really soft on you guys for just a moment. So bear with me, listeners. I've been able to watch like families progress. And that's really hard when you have a family yourself. You get married, or you get engaged, you get married, have kids, have a house, move. It's really hard for you to see your own personal growth. But I've been able to watch these people that were renters for a property management company that I worked for. Now they're homeowners. Now they're married. Now they have kids. They have two kids, three kids. I know the names of their dogs. And it's like, oh yeah, you know, so-and-so. It's like, oh yeah, he's in middle school. And I'm like, what? I remember when your wife was pregnant. And that, I think for me, that's my favorite part. It's not stomping on rats. It's not, you know, killing termites and stuff like that. It's that connection with my community, because that's from when we started the company, that was huge for us, is that we want community ties. When you go or driving around out here, you don't see my business card at like Home Depot. You don't see my business card at, you know, at the big stores. Where you see my business card at the feed store. You see my business card at the, you know, at the local bar that I service, at the gas station that I buy my corn dogs from. It's like, there's my business card, the post office. Yep. All the places that like people, it's like, oh, hey, they've got a bulletin board here. Huh. In fact, I mean, you know, that guy I was talking about earlier, he messages me out of the blue one morning. He's like, I didn't know you service Vernonia. And I'm like, well, I've got a couple of customers in Vernonia, but it's not an area that I really service. He's like, oh, I saw your business card at the gas station. I put mine right next to it. And I'm like, oh, thanks for not tearing it down, buddy. Appreciate it. But that's my point, is that, you know, these people that, you know, find out about me, or it's like, you know, that they just recently found out that I started my company, and then they're customers for life. So, you know, it's going back to what I said earlier. You do good work, and I take a lot of pride in what I do, because my name's on the side of the truck. That's Alex customer. That's Alex company. And by God, Alex is going to take care of the problem. So it's that knowledge that people rely on me, and people rely on you guys too. It's like, you know, Jenny's been, you know, I know that you're new with Trio, but it's like, you're going to come to that point where it's like, yeah, Jenny's been, it's like the minute that you like, it's like, you're no longer this person's tech. It's like, hey, we had to hire somebody. We're going to be doing some rerouting here. It's like, I want Jenny. Like if I don't have Jenny back, I'm terminating my service. So now that you have that connection to the community, that for me is my absolutely favorite thing. Even when I'm not in the work truck and I'm wearing overalls or something like that, and a hat, I go to the grocery store and it's like, there goes, we were at the pumpkin patch yesterday, took our daughter to the pumpkin patch. There's a customer. There's one of my customers. And they're like, oh, hey, what are you doing here? Got a kid on my arm. And it's like, what's it look like I'm doing here?
Being a person.
Yeah. Right? I love that aspect of my job. But now owning a business, I think that my new favorite aspect of the job is finding the people like Candace, like the guy I was talking about earlier. Well, and even at Newport, I got to meet like four other guys just kind of in our immediate like area. Yeah. And then now I'm on a group chat with them, and it's like,
nice.
You know, we're all just texting each other, and we're just talking shop. You know,
that's awesome.
Three of the guys in that chat own their own company, and it's like, you know, I think the other two guys work for like small companies, but it's finding the people that own their own businesses, and it's like, hey, you know what? It's like, yeah, good to meet you. Just another dude out here in the area. But besides that, I mean, also like the stories of pest control, yeah. You know, it's like, nobody, it's like, oh, you know, yeah, I work. You might have a crazy day in retail or something like that, but it's like, I come home from work and it's like, how was your day? It's like, I serviced one of the most haunted locations on the West Coast today. So,
right. Yeah.
I didn't know if you wanted to talk about that or not, since I think that I don't know what the demographic of these listeners are, but you know, most women in their 30s are, you know, just love that stuff. So whenever I get an opportunity to talk about that,
facts.
You know, love talking about the haunted locations. I love going to service those places because it's always, almost always there's something going on that I get to talk about. It's like, oh yeah, you know, I'm in an empty house and I'm hearing people walk up the stairs. Oh,
that's creepy.
I didn't know if you wanted to talk about that or not, but I know that's like we're probably getting to the end of our time, but you know.
I was going to ask you about what you showed us before we recorded, a special cup you have.
Well, I'm so glad that you asked about that. What I have here for the for the visual of people there, this is a Tony Spangler original. It is a stainless steel construction with a non-slip bottom so that it's not going to tip over on your desk when you accidentally knock it. And I also have the patented urethral sounding rod too.
We never have one.
Well, yeah, you have to get yourself one. This one is curved for her pleasure, but and I also have the little bite guard on the end of this one too, because I keep knocking it on my teeth. However, this mug, shameless plug, has been great. Keeps cold things cold, keeps hot things hot, and look at the design on that too. Mine is, you know, a specific type of over the counter ant and roach killer. Kills on contact with fresh lemon scent.
Of course, it has fresh lemon scent.
But Jenny, beautiful. That is, I mean, stunning.
That's William the Merciful.
William the Merciful. It's beautiful.
So this is
and
a
I
classic.
Have my Pestrogen podcast one.
Well, look at that.
Ooh, bam. These are from SpanglerArt.com. Go find you some.
Yes, they've got amazing things. I really want to get a mug. I'm going to look into that next because I only use the tumblers for work.
Yeah.
And I'll leave it in the truck and in the morning I'll go get it and then I'll wash it and then, yeah. But in the evenings and stuff, I drink from mugs. So I'm gonna get one of their mugs.
Was that a number one cheese bag?
Steal Brad's mug.
Yep. Been stealing his. But yeah, definitely SpanglerArt.com.
Yes, next week we are going to have the owner of Rodent Stop. His name is David Dorfman. I think that'll be a lot of fun. He's got a cool stuff that he's going to tell us all about.
Yep.
Yeah, so that'll be next week. So as for today, we had the awesome and wonderful Alex Shelby from BNS Pest Management. Woo! Got it right that time. Up in Astoria area.
Yes.
And then, of course, the beautiful Jenny with Trio over in Indianapolis.
Yes. Thank you so much for joining us, Alec. This has been amazing.
This was an absolute pleasure. And when I've been talking to people about leading up to this, I'm like, oh, yeah. Hey, you know, sorry, guys. I got to cut out of here. I'm going to be on a podcast. Really? This has been one of the most like exciting things. Not getting on the container ship. I'm going to be in PCT magazine. So I don't know which issue it's going to be on, but keep an eye out for that. But this has been like, this is it. I have been so excited to do this. I've been so excited to talk to you. It's been an absolute pleasure, ladies.
Awesome. I know. I asked Jenny, I was like, hey, do you think we should have Alec on? She's like, oh my God, yeah. I was like, cool, let me message him. Sent you the message. And I mean, like almost instantly, he was like, I would be absolutely honored. Fuck yeah. All right, let's go.
I love that. I love that.
Right? I love every episode, but it's fun when we bring on friends we already have as friends.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a lot of it's more natural. Sometimes when it's a brand new person we're just meeting, it's just like, hello. You
know? Hi.
What do you do for a living? Welcome. I mean, that's dumb.
Who are you?
Oh, it was my, on today's episode of Pestrogen, we will be speaking with somebody we've never met before.
Yep.
We don't know you.
Here we go.
But, and I can officially say that I have met this gentleman now.
Yep. There you go.
Not just talked to him or texted him or anything like that. I have actually officially met him face to face.
I was going to say, and some asshole gave you one of my hats, too. I don't know,
right?
That.
Yeah, bullshit.
Now remember, You know, don't do anything bad or stupid if you wear that house. However, if you get booked and that is your intake photo, I'll pay your bail.
Okay. I don't usually wear a hat unless I am working, and then it will be my own hat. No, your hat hangs behind our coat rack, right by our door. It just, that's where it sits. You know, it doesn't get thrown around or the cats attack it or something.
You know, that's the one thing. I sometimes wish that chemical manufacturers and suppliers send me something besides a hat. I've got hats from seed companies, chemical companies, fertilizers, pesticides. I got 200 hats on any given day.
Right.
You know what? Send me a nice, beautiful cup to take with me while I'm working.
Yeah.
Send me a nice pen. Hell, give me a cooler.
Right. Facts. Okay. Well, thank you.
Hold on one second.
I was like,
yeah, bring that here. I was going to show you what Forshaw sent me. I remembered where it got put.
Oh, that's a box.
Yeah, it's like a water bottle.
Wow, with the metal lid too?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, it's no Tony Spangler, but.
Right. No, it's not. And then also in here, we got like the stemless wine glasses. Okay.
A little one. Yeah.
I've got two of these. The other one's the exact same, so I'm not going to pull it out. Yeah, like, it just, Danny just sent it to us, and I'm like, what the hell is this? Opened it, I'm like, well, okay.
Okay.
None of it's ever been used, but I just thought it was really cool that it wasn't a hat.
Fair. I will say, though, the nicest thing that that chemical rep has given me, that wasn't a joke earlier about the cooler. I got one of those little, like, personal Yeti coolers from
That's awesome.
That thing goes everywhere with me.
I need one
that
of
is
those.
Cool, especially during the summer.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us for another episode of Pestrogen Podcast. So go out and kick some ass. I fucked that up.
What is it? You know? Oh wait, can I do it?
Yeah.
Go out there and kick some ass.
Yeah.
Woo!
Kick some
Beautiful.
Ass.
Thank you.
Got it in one.